Welcome to the talk show dedicated to the wine industry. It's All About Wine. With your host, winemaker, cellar master, vineyardist, and tasting expert, Ron, Vice President and General Manager of Florida State's Winery in Land O'Lakes, Florida. Call our guest line at any time during the live show at area code 646-727-3235.
Basically, what we're trying to do on this program is educate people and make wine less confusing and more friendly.
Broadcasting on blogtalkradio.com and worldwide, including the Armed Forces Radio Network.
How this show has grown from, you know, maybe a couple hundred to over 40,000 people. And yeah, that's fantastic.
From coast to coast.
Basser, Kansas.
Deming, New Mexico.
Ithaca, New York.
Knoxville.
Lancaster County, Pennsylvania.
Lexington, Kentucky.
Montana.
Moscow, Idaho.
New Hampshire.
New Mexico.
Santa Rosa.
Sevierville, Tennessee.
South Dakota.
The coast of Maine.
The Commonwealth of Pennsylvania.
Westport, Mass.
You know, we really have had some neat people on the program. I love that. Alba Vineyards.
Blog.10Live.
Boys Lick Winery.
Brotherhood.
Camas Prairie Winery.
Candia Vineyards.
Palo de Borghese.
Eagle Springs Winery.
Flathead Lake Winery.
Free the Grapes.
Grapesandwine.cal.cornell.edu.
Heritage Vineyards and Winery.
Hershey Harrisburg Wine Country.
Holyfield Vineyard and Winery.
Hummingbird Ridge Winery.
Joy Soy of Wine.
Prairie Berry.
Rainborn Wines.
Rocky Top Wine Trail.
Sheila Lauer Vineyards and Winery.
Southwest Wine.
Haber Hill.
Ten Spoon.
University of Kentucky Extension.
Vineyard at Hershey.
Vivac Winery.
Walt Vineyard.
Westport Rivers.
Wine Flower.
And around the world.
TheDriftingWinemaker.com.
DonCole.biz.
I just arrived in Bali about 3 days ago.
All About Wine is on.
If you have any questions or anything to talk about, we will be more than happy to talk to you about or search it for you or try to find information for you out there, because there is a lot of information out there about wine.
We do occasionally get off topic.
Belvoir Winery.
The most well-known haunted winery in the Midwest.
I've heard voices at the winery.
Call area code 646-727-3235 and let's talk about wine on air. And now, wine enthusiast and industry representatives, All About Wine is on. Here is your host, Ron.
Thank you, bus people. A little wet today, but we got some, we still have bus people show up. It seems to be fine tonight. Mike's not with us tonight. Mike is a little bit under the weather, not feeling well, and I think it's affecting his voice and stuff, so he's not going to be joining us tonight. So you have me. I tried to get hold of, and I talked about it last week, trying to get hold of a guest coming on, and I don't know. I think it's too close to the holidays, having one heck of a time trying to find anyone that's going to take their time to join us. So I have found no guest. Sorry about that, but I do have some interesting information to pass on to you tonight. So we're going to talk about some stuff, different things that's happening out there in the wine world. Like I say, there's never a loss for wine information. So I'm going to give you some bits of information, some things that I've noticed around that I thought you might be interested in and all that. And we'll probably won't use up a whole hour, but I say that and I end up talking the whole hour anyway. Thank you for tuning in, and I hope you had yourself a wonderful and safe new year heading into 2014, and good vacation or whatever it is that you happen to have during this time. A lot of people have taken off a week and a half and just started back to work today, and so it's been quite crowded on the roads. Getting a little bit of rain here in Florida, but it's not too bad. It'll pass by, and we're supposed to get some nice weather over the next 3 or 4 days. Looking forward to that, as always. Bus people are happy and cheerful. I'm having myself a Cabernet Franc from Reed's Livery Winery. Rex Reed stopped in and visited me, I guess it was a couple months ago, and brought me a couple of wines to sample and to taste, and we talked, had a good visit, and he left me this Cabernet Franc. Nice! Rex, if you're listening, very nice job. It's a little light, but it's got some nice characteristics to it. It's not the real heavy Cabernet Franc that you find in a lot of the West Coast wineries. So, again, Rex, thank you for sharing this with me. I really appreciate it. We got, like I say, a little bit of information to pass on to you now. A few odds and end things here that I found to be very interesting and some odds and end things going on in the wine world. So kick back and enjoy. If you want to give me a call, 646-727-3235. I have no idea where that 646 number is. Mike and I always wonder. I think it might be New York, but whatever it is, give me a call. I'll talk to you a little bit off the air. Keep the subject on wine, and you can always make comments on the program. First thing I want to talk to you about, first thing I want to share with you here, I just noticed something that's new that's out there now. It's a single-serve wine vials. Just a little small thing. This is from designed to bring elegance to the single-serve wine format, it is said in their release. It's a new 187-milliliter glass vial package from the Vinny Winery, V-I-N-I, Vinny Winery, of Miami Beach, Florida. Now, this is something new to me. I didn't know we had a Vinny Winery in Miami Beach, Florida, and here I am in Florida, and I didn't know there was one down there. But it's been introduced specifically for the high-end wine market. They're not trying to compete with the ready-to-drink market, they said, which is more about convenience over quality. The company founder and CEO, Sonny Fraser, also stated it is a lifestyle product about providing accessible luxury. It's a little glass vial, also called the Vinny, with their tagline on it. It also states on it, exceptional wine by the glass. It was soft launched last January in South Florida, specifically to upscale hotels and retail outlets, as well as in about 12 states nationwide, direct to the consumer via the company's website. And if you want to check it out, www.thevinny.com. The variety I have in the vials are a California Napa wine based on a Zinfandel and a California Sonoma wine based on Chardonnay. Now, this is how the release is wine based. I don't know if it's a blend or anything else. That's how it's worded. Seemed odd to me. That's why I pointed that out. Sonny Fraser explains that the packages were modeled after the smaller sample size vials, typically 50, 60, or 100 milliliters, which are used in Europe. Quote, I was inspired by the sleekness of the sample size and thought that it would be an excellent format for the delivery of fine wines if it were redesigned into a more ample single-serving size. Since the format I envisioned did not exist, I developed the design. And they're vials. They really are. They look like test tubes, if you will. 187 milliliters. They're cylindrical, made of lightweight glass, seamless glass. And they have a proprietary supplier, so they're not going to let you know who that came from. It features a flat bottom with a slight indentation or a punt on the bottom of it. Gives the Vinny a sexy profile, they state, and it's nice, smooth to the touch, and it's just a single serving, 187 serving. The 187, if you recall from other shows we've talked, is also the stackables. We've mentioned the stackables where you can get four stackable bottles of wine that equals the 750 milliliter. 187 is, four is the 750 milliliter size. And so it's along the same line, 187 they figure is a one serving. Technically it isn't. It's a little bit big for a one serving because a one serving should be about 100 and, about 145 milliliter, but 187 serving, a little bit large. It's closer to about 6.5 ounces, six and a half ounces, as opposed to the 5, which is recommended. The topping of the vials is a Stelvin or a screw cap from Amcor, which is a big company for closures. And it says, unlike some other new alternative single-serve wine pour mats, among them the plastic stemware-style glasses, cans, and plastic bottles, the Vinny is meant to be poured into a glass so it can aerate and be presented like any other fine wine. So it's just the convenience of it having in the vial. In a restaurant setting, the format allows for a transition of the by-the-glass list. So the new Vinny, it's been out for a while around the country. So if you get an opportunity, I don't know, you go to the website. I think that's about the only way you can order it and get it individually. Otherwise, you have to go to a restaurant or something like that and pick it up. But the single serve Vinny, again, www.thevinny.com. Wines for fans. If you are a fan of Downtown Abbey, and there are lots of fans for Downtown Abbey, if you're a fan of Downtown Abbey, there's a new wine that is on the market in anticipation of the show coming back in January. Wines That Rock. I don't know who they are, but Wines That Rock launched the Downtown Abbey Wine Collection, imported by PL360 Beverage Partners. It features two blends from Bordeaux, a Blanc white wine and a Claret red wine. The wines were crafted by family-owned French winemaker Grands Vins de Bordeaux, and he used the same vine, soil, and region as the downtown air to produce the wines. So Downtown Abbey Blanc is a light, crisp white wine, and the red, or Claret, is a medium-bodied red with a lot of fruitiness and a silky finish. Both in a 750 bottle. Both are going to retail for around $14.99, $15. So if you are a fan, you might want to check those out and pick those up. They're being imported by PL360 Beverage Partners out of Denver, and they will be available nationally. So they probably are out there now. They are pretty soon. So check those out. Another expansion, wine expansion coming up. Grazzani Family Vineyards partnered with Duffy and Partners to give its wine lines a new look. The new wine label wanted to be a unique, eye-catching package to stand out in all the wines that are on the shelves, and we all know how many wines are on the shelves whenever you go shopping. And so they wanted theirs to jump out a little bit more. The revamped Reserve line takes cues from the original design, and it's a metallic screen silk bottles offering a luxe appeal, and features a black letter press label with metallic ink. Woo! The back label has been replaced with the silk screen message emblazoned in gold, and each bottle is hand dipped in a gold wax seal to finish the design. For its Happy Canyon and Articondo blends in its Everyday Varietals line, simpler letterpress labels and illustrative imagery from the history of the vineyard will be used. It gives a nod to Graziano Family Vineyard's commitment to sustainability. So new labels out, new bottles, new presentation from Grazzini, G-R-A-S-S-I-N-I, Grazzini Family Wines. And so that's that is available now. Something I probably should have read last week before we pass by the first of the year here. But since it's passed and we don't really have to worry about it too much. We can still pass on this information. And, of course, I'm speaking about champagne or sparkling wine or Prosecco or Cava or whatever you're getting. Prosecco, it's the Italian bubbly. Cava, C-A-V-A. Cava is the Spanish. Same thing. And then, obviously, sparkling wine is what we call it here in the States now. And champagne from the Champagne region of France. Just quick bubbly pointers here. That's all I'm going to do on this since we passed it. Again, I've said this many times. Don't just think it's for special occasions. It's not. You can have it with all sorts of meals. We've talked about this on many occasions of how bubbly can be used for all sorts of different meals and all sorts of different things. And so don't just pass it up. Check out, there's some really, really reasonably priced Proseccos on the market, Italian bubbly. There's some really reasonably priced Cava on the market. That they're good. I've had them, and they're really, really quite good, as well as many sparkling wines here in the States. And some of the French champagnes are reasonably priced, too. Of course, you can get the expensive $129 ones and stuff like that, and they are good. But for everyday drinking, pick up the cheaper ones. They are available everywhere, and a lot of them aren't much more than a bottle of any of your Cab, Merlots, Chardonnays, Rieslings, or anything else. Bubbly pointers. Don't hide the sparkling in the summertime. Pull bottles to create an eye-catching display. Another pointer, highlight sparkling rosé along with the still rosés. You can, you know, you start your meal with a rosé, and you can throw that sparkling rosé in there. That's really is going to be a nice extra thing on there. Get that little effervescence. Keep some of the bottles of bubbly with wines from different regions of the world. Pair the things with other wines and stuff. You can really highlight some nice wines that way. Sparkling wine is food friendly. This is something that people tend to get away from. I've had people come into the winery who say that they do a lot of sparkling wine drinking. They said they have it all the time, which is great. I mean, there's all sorts of food you can have. You compare everywhere from sticky, spicy barbecue to chilled seafood. Just depends on what you're doing. Look at the labels. Familiarize yourself with the with what the names mean, and hey, it's great. Picnic. There's another good use for it as the summer. And if you're listening to us in the Southern Hemisphere, grab some sparkling wines for the picnic time. It's a great way to enjoy some sparkling wines in the summer while you're out on a picnic. Also, there's all sorts of cocktails you can make from sparkling wines. Pair up. You can make mimosas, Bellini, French 75. There's all sorts of different things you can do with sparkling wines that make it an everyday wine. And you know, familiarize yourself a little bit with it. I've done some sparkling wine episodes in the past. I will probably be doing some in the future and start talking about it. But you can make it out of almost any grape now. They're making sparkling wines out of just about everything. So check it out and have the sparkling wines with just about anything you can find to have them with. I saw this article here. I thought this was interesting. This is from a Tom Wark's Fermentation Daily Wine blog. It's fermentationwineblog.com is what it is. Fermentationwineblog.com. And he's been doing it for some time. Interesting. I read him every once in a while, and a lot of the stuff are, you know, it's interesting stuff and all that. But this particular one caught my eye here. And this caught my eye simply because of the fact that, All About Wine, we've talked to people all around the country. We've talked to wineries all around the country. We've talked to what they're doing in wines all around the country, how they're expanding, what is being made. I'm having myself a Kentucky wine tonight. It just But this is his blog, this particular one, the title of it is The Subtle and Important Change Coming to Wine. And he said, no doubt customers are used to dirt and wine, this tradition of wines. The people are always looking and talking about wines, and you know, for reasons it's often very difficult to lay hands on, and critical shifts occur within the wine business, within the wine selling. For example, right now we're transitioning into a very big Moscato. Moscato is the wine du jour now. It's, for a while there was Chenin Blanc was big, Chardonnay was big for a while, and then it transitioned over to Sauvignon Blanc. That everybody says, oh, I'm into Sauvignon Blanc. Now Moscato's. Moscato is the wine to drink now. People walk in, used to be they'd walk in and say, do you have a Pinot Gris? No. Do you have a Riesling? Now it's Moscato. Do you have a Moscato? And that this seems to be the one right now. But it's just not much more than what he says here. But honestly, the rise of Moscato is not much more than a continuation of the public's demand for something sweet, cheap, and alcoholic, which may be so. A nice Moscato is a nice Moscato. I can't fault that. I can't say anything bad about it. But that possibly could be so. Some people point to the millennial wine drinkers as telling, that they're more adventurous and that they're doing this. I just read a big article yesterday while I was reading some stuff, catching up on some reading yesterday during the day off. And I read this nice article on the millennials, what they're doing, how they're advancing, what they're saying, and how they're changing the world in that they are into electronics and they go by what friends are drinking and they listen to what friends are drinking. They're basing a lot of their decisions on electronics and all that. But it's actually, if you look at it, what they're buying is Cabernet Sauvignon. They're buying Chardonnay. They're buying Merlot. They're buying Pinot Noir and Pinot Grigio. And these are the ones at the top of the millennials' list of wines. These are the ones that their parents bought and their grandparents bought and everything else. This isn't changing. These are the wines that are out there, and these are the wines that the millennials are drinking. And Moscato, of course. I just said that. But it's changing. And the article, that his blog here, talks about the fact that it's changing, that it's changing in the fact that people are getting away from the West Coast wines. They're starting to experiment. They're starting to understand that the world isn't just California, Oregon, and Washington for wines. And I have to admit, for years, I was a very snobby California wine drinker or West Coast wine drinker in Washington, Oregon also. On the program here, we've talked to so many wineries around the country. We've talked to so many people that we can't ignore everything anymore. He says here that the California, Washington, Oregon has dominated the wine world and the wine discussion and wine buying for a long time. And yes, California is still the big boy on the block. California is the 90% or 95% of all wines purchased are Californian wines. But still, that leaves another 5-10%, and these are starting to be picked up in other areas. It's impossible to ignore the substantial wines being produced, and this is quoted from this blog, being produced in Michigan, New York, all down the entire East Coast from New York all the way down actually to Florida, I have to say that. Also from Illinois, Missouri, Texas, and other states. You can't ignore them anymore. They are starting to become something that is out there. A lot of stores are carrying different wines. You go into different states, and they're carrying the wines of the states around them. They're not just staying within the California or within their own state. They're starting to carry wines from the states around them, which is great. I absolutely think it's fantastic that they're starting to do that. And because of that, we're starting to notice more and more wines that are not just your traditional California, Washington, Oregon areas. Metropolitan areas around the country are starting to open up to the local wines. New York, some of the higher-end restaurants there are starting to bring out a lot of New York wines, not just a few cursory ones just to say, okay, we do have it. But they're starting to bring in quite a few New York wines and some high-end restaurants. It's helping wineries throughout the country because these places are doing it and people are looking at it. Some of the retailers and sommeliers in different areas are taking the chance on stocking Michigan Rieslings and New York Cabernet Franc, and some restaurant buyers are pouring Virginia Chardonnay, Viognier, and red blends by the glass. These are things that are going to open up the country for wines, and the country is open. I found this doing this program, and it does open up the country for wines. When you walk into a shop or something, a wine shop, don't just say, oh, here, we've got Napa or Sonoma or Mendocino or Willamette Valley or Washington here or anything from California. We also have New York or Missouri or Florida, Virginia, any number of them. We've found how many wineries there are in all these other areas, and it's sad that these wineries aren't expanding more and getting them on the shelf. I've been trying to get a hold of Texas wineries, and we will, but the Texas wineries have, there's over 100 wineries in Texas, but you don't see those on shelves, which is really too bad, because how are you going to experiment, how are you going to try them? So it's really freethegrapes.org is trying to get that available so we can ship and do that around the country, and more power to them, and then maybe we'll start noticing more and more other wines, other wineries, other possibilities that is available to us. We end up, you know, maybe an argument one day of not if it is Sonoma that's better than Napa, or Sonoma is Livermore Valley better than Paso Robles, which is all California. The argument may come to the point that it's going to be Virginia as opposed to West Virginia, or Pennsylvania as opposed to Ohio, Illinois as opposed to Missouri. These are things that we hope is going to be available, because there are a lot of wines in these areas and a lot of good wines in these areas. And so these are things that I certainly hope it's going to happen, and that's why we keep talking to wineries around the country to get you interested in it and get you to understand what they are and what the wines are in these different areas. So wanted to pass that on. It's something that we haven't pursued enough, I think, wines in different parts of the country and all that. Another blog here, the guy's talking about AVAs. Mark Norman, who I'm going to try to get Mark Norman on the program this year. He's a blogger, and he's also runs different sites and all that. Been very, very involved with wine. I've corresponded with him quite a few times, and he's going to be a guest sometime. I will get him on sometime this year. But Mark is embarking on a project of writing about every one of the AVAs in this country, American Viticulture Areas. Yay for him. The sad thing is, I don't think most people understand what AVAs are and what they are. I think I talked about it just last week, talking about AVAs and stuff, or a couple of weeks ago. And AVAs, American Viticulture Areas, are designated areas, has to be at least 85 acres. And it's something that I don't think people really are concerned about and all that. But it should be an interesting series of articles talk about AVAs and how they came about and all that. And, you know, as he starts talking about them, we will also expand on it and start pass on some of the information on AVAs. Most people understand Napa is a distinct area, but that is also an AVA. But then you have AVAs within the AVAs and stuff like that. And so these are things that we need to That should be interesting. It should be fun. We'll try to keep you informed on all this stuff as we go through this. Winty Family Winery. Winty is located in Livermore Valley. Winty was one of the first wineries and the first people I met. Eric Winty I met years ago. He's about the same age as I am, a couple years younger as well. He, chairman in the big boy at Winty Vineyard right now. It's been in the family for years, the Winty Family Winery. It's family-owned Winty Vineyards. 130 years the family's owned this winery and operated it. And yes, it's been survived through the prohibition because of selling wine to churches and wines for religious purposes, and they survived that. And they're big now. Winty is enormous. You've probably seen Winty sitting on the shelves everywhere. But the reason I'm talking about it here, in 2011, they produced 500,000 cases, 500,000 cases of wine. They shipped. In 2012, they shipped 600,000 cases. And this year, this 2013, they expected to reach and maybe surpass 700,000 cases. They're saying that at this rate, that by 2015, they will pass the 1 million case threshold. Wow. That's just amazing. They're putting in more vineyards so they can do it. The son, Eric Winty, again, the CEO of the company, the chairman, he's the oldest one. His son, Eric, Eric is his name. His son, Carl, fifth generation of the family, is now the winemaker, as they all are. They pass it down family to family. Carl's added another 160 acres of new planting, so it's a tremendous amount. They've got different brands out there. Entwine, E-N-T-W-I-N-E, Entwine brand is in partnership with the Food Network. That's Merlot, Cabernet Sauvignon, Pinot Grigio, and Chardonnay, all for around $13. That's just under 200,000 cases annually they do. The big operation, when I was out there many, many years ago and lived there and used to visit them all the time, it was reasonably small, but they have expanded so much. It's just absolutely amazing. They also have quite a few other lines. Hayes Ranch is one of the lines. Morning Fog Chardonnay and Riva Ranch Chardonnay are all available under line. Small Lot and Nth Degree, N-T-H, Nth Degree. A little bit higher in artisanal brands from them. Very small lots of those, just cuvee ranges of 300 to 500 cases, depending on the harvest. They also have Marietta's Well wines, which is a white wine called the Whip and a red wine called the Spur. These are the white wine is 7 white grapes led by Chardonnay, while the Spur is 5 red grapes led by Petit Syrah. And so just interesting stuff. So a tremendous amount of wines coming out there. I saw that Winty's was producing so many, and I was absolutely amazed and shocked that they were up to that many wines now. It was shocking. Yeah, that's probably the best word. A lot of wines coming out of there. Okay, let me do this and let me find the next one I want to talk to you about here. If I can find it. Is this the one? Nope. Is this the one? Nope. Is this the one? Yes. Okay. Everyone knows that the good thing in red wine, resveratrol. Resveratrol is the good thing. They're saying that helps all sorts of stuff with all sorts of problems and everything else, and it's good for you and all that. Well, a little article I found talking about prostate cancer. Prostate cancer is the leading cause of cancer. Cancer deaths in men in the United States. It's ranked number 2 in general in cancers, and it's nasty stuff. We are all familiar with prostate cancer and what's happening with it and all that. And they're saying that the extracts from red grapes is good. the stuff that's being pulled out of red grapes and the skin contact and the stuff coming from the skins. And one of those says the polyphenols in red wine have been the focus for anti-cancer treatments as well as treatments for cardiovascular issues and treatments for other types of cancer, not just prostate cancer. But it says rather than having to drink cases upon cases of red, which would be what you would have to do to get the proper amount of polyphenols to cause any difference, then obviously it would create other problems. Researchers have been focusing on key compounds from the skin and seeds of the grapes themselves to find out what specific thing in the skins and the seeds that are good for you, that's going to give you a good thing. One of those things is resveratrol. It's a polyphenol found in red wine, grapes, skins, and seeds, and actually it's historically the most frequently studied compound for use as a dietary health supplement, and also the whole bunch of other problems and diseases and everything else. However, it's not all about resveratrol, and many of the other polyphenols in wine grape skins and seeds, as well as the finished wine, also possess health benefits when consumed. Now, they're finding another one that is particularly good called diogallate, and actually shortened to B2G2, which is much easier to try to pronounce every time than the other big word. It's a procyanidin that is found in grape skins and seeds and has been shown to be a powerful antioxidant, which can function on a wide range of human health problems. Recent studies have shown that B2G2 may stop the progression of breast cancer and prostate cancer. The studies are being followed up now. It's an ongoing thing. The studies are being followed up. Overall, the goal of the study is being published in a journal for nutrition and cancer. So if you can find that online, probably you can find more about this. But B2G2 isolated from grape skins and seeds could be an effective treatment for prostate cancer, focusing on interactions with survivin and other genes known to be connected with prostate cancer proliferation. It says, if synthetically produced, B2G2 would work just as effectively as a naturally extracted. And since the time and cost of isolating B2G2 directly from the grapes and skins and seeds is long and expensive, while synthetically producing the compound would be a lot less expensive. So there you go. Another good thing that's going to help cancers, specifically they're talking about prostate cancer. The study is ongoing. They have found that it is really, I'm not going to go through this whole thing here, but suffice it to say that they're finding that it is help controlling the growth of cells. It's reducing the growth of cells and proliferation by inducing the cell cycle to arrest or stop growing. And cancer, if, as you know, it's just the runaway cells in the body and which ends up forming a tumor, which, wherever it happens to be or stuff like that. So they're finding that this B2G2 is stopping the growth of these cells. So, it goes on and gives it scientifically stops or inhibits the activity of NF-KB and AP1, whatever those are. You can look it up, find out, and go from there. But I thought that was an interesting study. We are always hearing about the resveratrol and how good that is and what the great stuff of that is and all that. But the B2G2 is something else out there now. Paperboy. No, not the person who throws your newspaper on the step. Paperboy, it is a new wine company, Paperboy, introduced a new line, a paper wine bottle. It is, the packaging is important, and you risk not paying enough attention to the contents because the packaging is important. Truett Hurst, T-R-U-E-T-T, Hurst, H-U-R-S-T, winery this month introduced a paper wine bottle sold only at Safeway grocery stores. So if you're on the West Coast, check them out. If you're on the West Coast and you see one, send me one. I would love to see what they are and what they look like and how they are. That would be great to see one of those. It's a beautiful, eye-catching, responsible, and revolutionary. It's produced by Green Bottle. The bottle is made from 80% used corrugated cardboard, mostly recycled from industrial use. It's 85% lighter than a glass bottle, and it requires less fuel to ship. Yay! I mean, as a winery who uses glass bottles, anything that can cut costs of shipping when the bottles are empty and or full, you have to love. The company claims one cross-country truck of paperboy wine saves 61 gallons of diesel fuel, meaning a lot less CO2 in the atmosphere and obviously less cost. The paperboy brand and logo, even the color scheme, everything is all geared toward the paperboy. It's is a brown bottle. It's got the picture on the front says paperboy, and here's this picture of this boy holding up a paper, and they have it in Chardonnay from Mendocino County. It says Chardonnay Mendocino County Winery, and then in a green diamond at the bottom of the bottle, it's the little Chardonnay tag. And they also have a red blend, Paso Robles Winery, it says, and the little diamond red blend on it. It's a very attractive bottle. It's nice. I don't know. It doesn't show the back here on these particular pictures. The bottle is lined with the same sort of plastic bladder as bag-in-a-box wines, which is great. This article that's talking about it says, don't know how long is the wine will protect the wine from oxidation on the shelf. I would think if it's a plastic bottle and there's no air in there, it would be, you know, quite a few months. If they spend a long time getting it to the customers, though, it might be a problem. It limits the foreign shipment, but you don't know how long they're going to be on the ships and clearing customs and setting in the warehouse. But since it's only going to be in Safeway, it should not be a problem. It maybe it needs a sell-by date on the paper bottle. I don't know, sell-by date for wine. The article goes on to say, though, that it, bold statement, for a winery, most wines in the supermarket category aren't meant to be put in your cellar, and they're saying that this is, for the wine like this, it's all about packaging, and it's help the environment and everything else. No sulfite wines that and I'm chuckling here because I'm looking at this article, and the person who wrote this, which I don't know who, it's some blog, but it didn't say who wrote it. The person who wrote this said, look at the way no sulfite wines are marketed at Whole Foods, but it has a little asterisk, and you look down and read the asterisk, and the asterisk says you are not allergic to sulfites, which is true, you are not. They pushed a green angle on this paper wine, paper bottle is really going to help the paper boy is going to push that thing. But the review of the wines themselves, and this is something else. The Paperboy Paso Robles Red 2012 is $15, and the reviewer said it's okay. It tastes like a supermarket red blend, juicy and fruity without a lot of complexity. It's probably the better of the two wines. If you buy the bottle as a curiosity to serve, it will not disappoint, especially for most people who are not big wine drinkers. And it says there are thousands of wines like this, and the $15 for a bottle is a little steep, but it is a paper bottle. And the Paperboy Mendocino County Chardonnay 2012, it's $14, is, he says, a missed delivery. It's thin-bodied despite 14.5% alcohol and bitter without sufficient fruit to carry it. They also make, Truett Hirsch also makes Chardonnay in an innovative square bottle, a package the writer loves and hated the wine. Maybe Chardonnays aren't their area of expertise. So, there you go. A new wine out there in a paper bottle. Again, if you live in California and you notice one of those, then, hey, ship me one out. I don't care. Well, obviously I do care. Send me the red. If I have a choice, send me the red. But interesting new thing out there on the market. Something else here. Here it is. This world's most unlikely winemaking nations. I want to share this with you here. These are wines coming from other parts of the world that we haven't really paid much attention to. This is from the New Zealand Herald. I guess New Zealand has one newspaper that takes care of the whole country. Now, that doesn't seem right. But the New Zealand Herald, just a couple of weeks ago, this came out. Denmark. Danish wines sound like a bit of a joke. Cold winters, variable sunlight, often wet, brief summers. But Denmark doesn't sound like a country with a climate to produce wine, but it does. Global warming and the development of new grape varieties have helped Denmark ventures for more than a decade. There are more than 80 vineyards in various locations, from rural hamlets outside of Copenhagen to islands in the Baltic Sea. The varietals include the red grapes Rondo, Castel, Regent, and Leon Millet, while Solaris, Sauvignon Blanc, Riesling, and Sauvignon make up the whites. Interesting. The proof of this is a vineyard owned by Klaus Meyer. He produces a white wine blend, and it's being well received around the country and around Europe right now. So, interesting. Denmark. Canada, and we know that. We live in the States. We know right along the border, especially up in the Niagara area, right off the escarpment. But Canada's contribution to the world of viticulture is best summed up by one word, he says here in this article, this newspaper, ice wine. But they make a lot more than ice wine. I have to qualify this. Canada makes some great wines. Again, off the escarpment, I had a Cabernet Franc that they brought out and gave. Well, I had a, when we were up there three years ago, we were talking, and they brought out a Cabernet Franc that they normally don't taste. And since I introduced myself and where I was from, they shared it with us. And, oh, my gosh, that was just phenomenal. I love Cabernet Francs anyway, but, you know, a good Cabernet Franc is just really hard to beat. And I was really quite impressed with this. So, they do more than ice wines. It says the ice wine category in Canada is continuing to evolve with new and innovative products. A leading producer of ice wine, Enniskillen, sells about 5,000 900 cases annually in Canada and about the same amount in the United States. Ice wines are made from Rieslings and Cabernet Franc, as well as Vidal, a winter hardy French American white hybrid grape. But instead of making an ice wine now, that Cabernet Franc, they made a really, really nice red. I had to do a little drink there. Speaking of Cabernet Franc, I had it sitting here in front of me, one of them. Reunion. The tiny French island of Reunion has two things going for it: altitude and Gallic winemaking pedigree. It's a volcanic island lying in the Indian Ocean east of Madagascar. It produces wine in the forested mountain town of Silios, a Cirque located at an altitude of about 1,200 meters. The local cooperative was founded during the 1990s, and Zivino is touted as the only French wines produced in the Southern Hemisphere. Cellar's varieties include Malbec, Pinot Noir, Gamay, Rosé, and dry whites, Chenin and Verdillo. Huh, interesting. Never heard of Reunion. Another one, Brazil. Beer-loving Brazil is rarely thought of as a wine producer, which is odd considering its Portuguese heritage. South American neighbors Argentina, Chile, and Uruguay have long produced wine, but Brazil is a viticultural minnow. To provide some perspective, in 2010, Brazil exported just $3.3 million U.S. worth of wine compared with Chile's $1.6 billion. But with next year's Soccer World Cup looming and the Olympics in 2016, the local wine industry hopes to gain a profile like never before. Brazil produces a full range of red, rosé, sweet, and sparkling wines, with the best wine is usually made from French grape varieties. So Brazil is another big area to look at here. And the last one, Moldova. Wine is possibly the only economic bright spot for Europe's poorest nation, but Moldova faces a hurdle, Russia. In September, Russia slapped a ban on the import of Moldovan wine as well as spirits. According to Russia's Consumer Protection Agency, the ban is due to traces of plastic contamination found in several barrels of Devon, the Moldovan equivalent of cognac. The ban is the second in 10 years, and Russia remains Moldova's biggest export market at 28%. However, analysts believe the ban is linked to Moscow's anger over Moldova signing a landmark EU trade agreement last month. Aha! There it is. But Moldova holds an ace up its sleeve, soil. The nation's grapes are grown in a soil so fertile that it's almost jet black. Oh my gosh, can you imagine? Then some of the grapes coming off that soil. Moldova's other viticulture calling card is the state-owned Cricova winery, C-R-I-C-O-V-A, or Cricova, or Cricova, which stores an estimated 1.3 million bottles, reputedly one of the largest wine cellars in the world. Interesting, interesting, interesting. Moldova, look for that, and Brazil, Reunion, Canada, of course, and Denmark. Unlikely winemakers around the world. So, time's getting short here. The AFRN, Armed Forces Radio Network, thank you guys for listening, and girls, I'm sorry, wasn't trying to be sexist there. Thank all military people for listening. I appreciate that. And we're going to cut this off tonight. Hope everyone had a great New Year. Hope everyone has a wonderful and prosperous 2014. And that everyone is had a good holiday season, got a chance to visit family and friends and just enjoy themselves. Mike should be back next week. I've got some emails out, and I'm going to be making phone calls next week trying to get some of these Texas wineries on the program. Oh, my gosh, they are driving me crazy. So nothing happening at the weekend or at the winery this weekend that is scheduled, but that doesn't mean that if you are in the area, you can't stop by, visit with me, and bring a picnic lunch, sit outside, and enjoy some Florida estate wines. So until next week, and that's going to be January the 9th, and you can also sign up for the our webpage and all the other stuff that we do. We have a Facebook page and we have a website and all that for All About Wine. Check those out, sign those up, and we'll look forward to talking to everyone next week. Good night.
Welcome to the talk show dedicated to the wine industry. It's All About... This concludes tonight's broadcast of All About Wine with your host, Ron, Vice President and General Manager of Florida State's Winery.
Florida State's winery is located at 25241 State
end
here, Road 52.
It's not playing.
This concludes tonight's broadcast of All About Wine with your host, Ron, Vice President
Ron,
and General Manager of Florida State's Winery. Florida State's Winery is located at 25241 State Road 52
in
Land O'Lakes, Florida,
4 miles west of
Interstate 75.
Contact
east of US 19 and US
41.
For more information on Florida State's Winery, visit the website at
FloridaEstatesWines.com
or call area code 813-996-2113. The email address is corp@floon.com. That's corp@floon.com.
At
For more information on All About Wine and future shows, please like us on Facebook at facebook.com/ All About Wine BTR or visit our website at allaboutwineBTR.com. Archived shows are available as a free...
You can also contact us at the winery at FloridaEstatesWines.com And so, yeah, lots of ways to get in touch with us, and we'll look forward if you have any questions, any comments or anything. Love to hear from you. People have in the past. Love to hear from you if you have any comments, questions, any disagreements with that, what I have to say, or want further information on some of the stuff we talked about. I'll be happy to get in touch with you. I'll respond to all the emails. So if you have any questions or anything, I'll look forward to hearing from you. Or any comments or anything, good, bad, or ugly. And Happy New Year. We'll talk to you next week.